This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance line of professional-grade supplements. One of the most important indicators of good health is your body composition, the proportion of fat and fat-free mass in your body. Having a healthy body composition promotes healthy blood pressure, heart health, and a healthy glucose metabolism. Our friends at Protocol for Life Balance have a trio of products designed to deliver effective body comp support with a variety of vital natural compounds that support appetite management, energy, healthy adrenal response, and more. Go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, we're here to answer your questions and to share with you the latest news about health and nutrition. Our number for questions is 877-726-8255. You can start dialing now. We'll be taking questions momentarily. We got lots of time this hour and next to field your inquiries. 877-726-TALK is our number. And lots of stories this week. I was away for the holidays last week, but that means that we've got a real backlog of stories that we want to share with you. So let's get going. One of the big stories this week has to do with Roundup, or as it's more technically referred to, glyphosate. Glyphosate is the world's most used pesticide. It is an herbicide accounting for nearly 72% of global pesticide usage. It's the primary herbicide used in the agriculture of corn, soy, and canola, extensively used in the USA. And a lot of it has to do with GMOs, which are genetically modified organisms that have been genetically tweaked to be Roundup ready. In other words, these crops aren't killed by Roundup, whereas the surrounding weeds are. That's the theory. It's a beautiful theory, but in practice, it's become a problem because, well, number one, Roundup resistance has developed, so more and more Roundup needs to be sprayed on crops to ensure that the weeds die. But also because it's now been noted that there are human hazards associated with glyphosate. And there are about 11,000 lawsuits queued up against Bayer, who just purchased Monsanto. Bayer, makers of headache remedies, the discoverers of aspirin. They've got a big headache after assimilating all the liability associated with Monsanto's Roundup. And some big awards already in some cases where groundskeepers and people who are taking care of lawns have been exposed to Roundup and then have sued after acquiring very weird cancers, unusual types of lymphomas. Well, there's some worse news this week about Roundup, and it comes to us from an article in a medical journal which suggests that there may be transgenerational effects of exposure to Roundup. And I'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about, because in the Bible, there's a very famous quote. God told the idol worshipers, and I'm quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 for you Bible scholars out there, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And that's a very, very evil curse, because it doesn't just extend to the evildoers, but also to their descendants. And that's apparently what's happening with Roundup, due to something that is referred to as epigenetic transgenerational inheritance. And in a recent study, and admittedly this is an animal study, but something very interesting happened. A group of female rats were exposed to glyphosate, and nothing happened to them. They weren't sick. And nothing even happened to their offspring. That's the F1 generation. But in contrast, there was a dramatic increase in the pathologies in the F2 generation. That's the grandchildren. And the F3 great-grandchildren, a lot of effects were observed. They include prostate disease, obesity, kidney disease, ovarian disease, and birth abnormalities. And in fact, there were changes in the way that DNA was expressed that spanned the generations. And that is a big, big concern. The researchers then say, we propose glyphosate can induce the transgenerational inheritance of disease, and that the generational toxicology of glyphosate needs to be considered in looking at the causes of diseases in future generations. This is a very, very scary study, and one of the problems is that even if you're careful and you avoid GMO foods, foods that may have been sprayed with glyphosate, there's a lot of glyphosate in the environment. If we check the saliva or the urine or the blood or the breast milk of virtually everyone in the United States and in the developed world, there are traces of glyphosate present, significant amounts, because it's in the water, it's in the soil, it's in many of the foods we eat, even if we try to eat organically. So this is a big problem, and this really suggests that it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. Ultimately, there's a price that we have to pay. 877-726-8255 is our number, and let's talk to Mike in Philadelphia. Hi, Mike. Welcome. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for taking my call. At 51, I've been following the philosophy of saturated fat is good and this polyunsaturated fat is bad and sugar is bad. And my cholesterol has been fairly high at about 220. So my doctor, of course, wanted me to go on a statin.
Join the club, because mine is about 220 also.
Okay. So I got a calcium score on a cardiac CT scan.
Yep.
And was absolutely devastated to find that my calcium score at age 51 was 464, which puts me at an extreme risk for
bone
narrowing. And I'm just devastated. Did I outsmart myself for the last 20 years following alternative medicine and, these alternative facts going down that path? Or should I have just listened to conventional views and try to eat a, quote, heart-healthy, low-saturated fat diet, which I'm sure is what my cardiologist appointment on Monday is going to tell me to do?
Yeah, okay, so you're an example of someone who has a fairly high degree of plaque. Any score that's in the three digits puts you at higher risk, and a score of 400 is more than what we should see in a 50-something-year-old. But I got to say that lest you blame yourself for eating a lot of saturated fat or cholesterol-laden foods, it's really probably not about that. There are probably other factors, hereditary factors, too many to mention, may have put you on the path to cardiovascular disease. It's not so simple as opting for a very low fat vegan diet. Although for certain types of cardiovascular risk, that may actually be helpful. So, you're going to be told that you need to go on a statin, and if you were a patient of mine, I might strongly consider that. I would also look at other risk factors. I would look at genetic risk factors. I would look at your Lp(a). I would look at your homocysteine. There are many, many pieces that go into the recipe for cardiovascular problems. And, it's good that you had the coronary calcium scan because you are a candidate for really aggressive prevention on a lot of fronts. Presumably, you're not diabetic. You don't have hypertension. You're not obese. None of those things, none of the obvious things are happening. You've not been a smoker. That's not been a problem for you, correct?
Correct. Well, that's true. Yeah, so I was not even a candidate for this screen, which I paid for out of pocket just out of curiosity.
Well, good that you did. Good that you did. I mean, if you were a patient of mine, I might have said, hey, you know, let's check it out. You're probably going to be fine, but it's best to be forewarned. So, you know, let me explain it. You know, I'm not incontrovertibly opposed to the use of statins. I think that there's a place for statins, especially for people who are at high risk. And I think you're at somewhat high risk of calcium. And the statins might help you, avert a problem later on. But there are a lot of other things you can do. You should be taking vitamin K, for example, MK7. You should be taking lots of fish oil. You can take chiolic aged garlic extract, which has been demonstrated to slow the progression of coronary calcification. These are all things that you should be doing. And, you know, maybe work with a nutritionally oriented physician in your area or, you know, swing on up to New York for some additional tips in terms of what you can do. Because you need to go full court press in terms of preventing cardiovascular disease. Look, it's a bad news, good news scenario. You don't have blockage yet. That's, you know, obvious because you're not having, shortness of breath. You don't have angina. You might get a coronary catheterization to make sure there's no critical narrowing. You caught this in time, and you can aggressively work to reduce your risk going forward, and you'll be fine. But thanks for your call, and wish it were otherwise, but at least you know now. And now you can get on the case. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 877-726-8255, is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're taking your phone calls, 877-726-8255. Anything related to medicine, your health, nutrition is fair game here on Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-TALK, and let's hear from Forrest. Welcome. How you doing?
Okay. First, I want to thank you for all your service to all of us.
Well, thank you.
Over the year. Yes. And I just got a copy of that book. One of your guests, Thomas Cohen, and it made me think of what happened to my family with a baby that never lived more than a couple of weeks back in the 80s. It was Sid. Anyway,
so your question is about I read is about heavy cream.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Whether when I look at the ingredient or the breakdown, there's 0% zero carbs, zero protein, so it's supposedly all fat. And I get the grass fed organic, so I think it's pretty good.
So you want to know if that's bad for you, because a lot of people are talking about how harmful full fat dairy products are.
Well, dairy in general. I mean. Because I thought allergies, if there was no protein in it, unless the zero doesn't mean zero, it's like less than one or something, you know.
Well, okay, so let me give you the scoop on full-fat dairy, because recently there was a study done by a Dr. Mozafarian at Tufts University in Boston. And the headline on that is full-fat dairy may actually benefit heart health. According to the study, Dr. Mousafarian and his team challenged not only popular opinions, but also the stance of the government. USDA and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services advocate avoidance of full-fat dairy. But what they found, they looked at 2,900 U.S. seniors age 65 and above, and they looked at the levels in their blood of three fatty acids contained by dairy products. And during a 22-year follow-up, what they found is that none of the three fatty acids examined correlated with the risk of dying. In fact, high circulating levels of something called heptadecanoic fatty acid, that's present in full-fat dairy, was associated with a lower risk of death from heart disease. Adults with the higher levels of fatty acids were 42% less likely to die from stroke. And so this is a little different than what's called an epidemiological study. Epidemiological studies look at, you know, what people recall from what they ate 20 years ago. And these are actually very poor studies sometimes. The studies, it's hard to remember what you ate last Tuesday for breakfast. But this study actually looked at what was in the bloodstream of these people associated with their intake or lack thereof of high fat dairy, full fat dairy products like cream, you know, that you just mentioned, that our caller mentioned, Forrest mentioned. And they found that, in fact, the stuff that was imparted to their bloodstream from the full-fat dairy was not, and I underline, not associated with cardiovascular risk. In fact, may have had a protective effect. And one of the reasons for that is that when you take full-fat dairy, it provides you with satiety. You tend to eat less carbs. Carbs tend to be a more potent driver of cardiovascular risk. Also, full-fat dairy is sometimes rich in things like CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, and vitamin K2 can be present in certain dairy products like hard cheeses. Vitamin K2 is a potent preventive factor against cardiovascular disease. So there you have it. I think we can exonerate full-fat dairy on the basis of these studies. And I think that's fine for Forrest to consume. Thanks for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our number, let's give it out again, 877-726-8255. Keep those calls coming. We got more to tell you about. We'll talk about how comfort food leads to more weight gain, especially during stress eating. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You buy organic, you wash your veggies, you try to avoid processed foods, you even use natural plant-based pesticides, but still worried about exposure to toxins? Every day, your liver is hard at work detoxifying your body from such present-day health risks as environmental toxins, unhealthy food and beverages, and medications we take. How can you help your liver? For starters, increase your glutathione levels. Glutathione is the body's primary antioxidant and helps your liver detoxify. As we age, glutathione levels go down, making us all vulnerable to a buildup of toxins. RegActive Detox and Liver Health helps rev up glutathione levels, assisting and supporting your liver to naturally cleanse and detoxify. Backed by over 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to stimulate our body's own production of glutathione to help your liver maximize its detoxification process. Support your healthy liver today. Be proactive. Choose RegActive. RegActive Detox and Liver Health is available online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And our number is 877-726-8255. This hour next, lots of time to pose your questions. And this item has to do with comfort foods and stress eating. You know, let's think of some popular comfort foods. Bacon cheeseburger, maybe cheesecake, mac and cheese. When we're stressed, we tend to go for foods that have an emotional connection, but also that are very rich in fat, but also rich in carbohydrates, and sometimes rich in sugar. And they seem to have sort of a soothing effect on people. Some people really rely on comfort foods at times of stress. So here's a study that looks in an animal model at what happens when you combine comfort foods with stress. And it's very interesting because it really, really relates to the human experience. It turns out that a high-calorie diet, when combined with stress, results in more weight gain than the very same diet that is consumed in a stress-free environment. So that kind of defies the calorie model, you know, calories in, calories out. But there's something about the internal metabolic regulatory pathways in the brain in particular that seem to drive additional weight gain when stress is present. What they found specifically is that prolonged high levels of insulin in the amygdala of the brain. The amygdala is is the emotional brain. It has to do with fear. It also has to do with recognition of faces. But high levels of insulin in the amygdala cause the nerve cells to become desensitized to insulin, which stopped them from detecting insulin altogether. And these desensitized cells in the amygdala, under conditions of high stress, promote eating and reduce the body's normal response to burn energy through heat. So the authors write, our findings revealed a vicious cycle where chronic high insulin levels driven by stress plus a high-calorie diet promoted more and more eating. So, you know, you know, expression, you know, eating like a house on fire, you know, when there's stress and stress promotes eating, that leads to a vicious cycle. The authors write, this really reinforced the idea that while it's bad to eat junk food, eating high-calorie junk foods under stress is a double whammy that drives obesity. So fascinating. So that really explains a lot. 877-726-8255 is our number. There's a condition called NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. That's a mouthful. So let's call it NASH. Better to call it fatty liver. Fatty liver is a big problem and may affect anywhere from 40 to 60% of American adults. And it can lead to liver fibrosis. And it can lead ultimately to liver failure, necessitating a liver transplant. Now, remember, it's not about alcohol. It's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. A lot of people mess up their livers with alcohol, but this is far more prevalent. And so one of the holy grail enterprises by big pharma, the pharmaceutical industry, is to find a drug that can cure NASH. But really, NASH is a nutritional disorder. I see it quite frequently in my practice. And we take patients with NASH and we put them on a specific diet. We give them certain supplements, phosphatidylcholine and milk thistle and alpha-lipoic acid and acetylcysteine among them, and vitamin E as well. And these things really help to control and reverse NASH or fatty liver. Patients end up normalizing their liver function tests, and ultrasound shows that they no longer have a fatty liver. But because that's tough, involves some restraint and discipline, Big Pharma is looking for a diet, a pill. They're looking for some magic pill that will reverse NASH. Well, news just came in that the latest entry into the drug sweepstakes for reversing NASH, unfortunately, is a resounding failure. Gilead, which is a big pharmaceutical company, Gilead Sciences, today announced that Stellar 3, a phase 3 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study evaluating the safety and efficacy of this hard-to-pronounce new medication, selonsertib, I believe it's called, for patients with NASH, crashed and burned. It did not meet the pre-specified 48 primary endpoint of a greater than one-stage histologic improvement in fibrosis. Fancy technical terms meaning that it didn't work. to reverse NASH in patients with this ubiquitous condition. So, I guess it's back to the drawing boards for the pharmaceutical industry, but they're looking for answers in all the wrong places because this is a nutritional disorder par excellence and needs to be treated with natural approaches. Check this story out. Ambulance that hit pothole on way to hospital may have saved patient's life, doctors say. This is like a comedy skit. Gretna Fire and Rescue outside of Omaha, Nebraska was dispatched to help a 59-year-old man Monday. This is a little earlier in the month, whose heart was racing at work. He had palpitations, possibly ventricular tachycardia. So the emergency squad had a 20-minute drive to the emergency room, and at one point, they're getting kind of worried because the patient's heart was beating at a rate of 200 beats per minute. That's way over the top. But during the 7-mile ride, the ambulance hit a pothole. Medics told the hospital that the jolt of the pothole converted the patient's racing heart to normal rhythms. So a therapeutic bump, this is normally done with something called cardioversion. Cardioversion involves running, electrical impulse through the body, thus shocking the heart into normal rhythm. But I guess the pothole delivered an adequate shock to the heart like the way you see it done on TV with the paddles when they go clear and then there's a big jolt. Turns out you could do that with a pothole. So the rescuers declined to talk about where the life-saving pothole was located. So lest other patients with cardiac arrhythmias drive their cars at rapid speed over the pothole in an effort to correct their heart problem. And by the way, this is not the first time in medical history that this has been documented. There's a well-documented case in a medical journal back in the late 1970s, I remember it, where a patient was jolted into a normal heart rhythm by a speed bump. So I guess there's, I don't know if you can get medical approval for driving your car at a rapid rate over a speed bumper in a pothole if you've got a heart problem. But there it is. It could work. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you're on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins that can actually slow your metabolism and cause your weight to plateau. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol. It's a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. For a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. One of the most important indicators of good health is your body composition, the proportion of fat and fat-free mass in your body. Having a healthy body composition promotes healthy blood pressure, heart health, and a healthy glucose metabolism. Our friends at Protocol for Life Balance have a trio of products designed to deliver effective body comp support with a variety of vital natural compounds that support appetite management, energy, healthy adrenal response, and more. Go to drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance for more information. That's drhoffman.com/protocol for life balance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number 877-726-8255. Anytime you'd like to call this hour or next. And there's another way that you, actually a couple of other ways you can reach us. If you want to email us a question, you can email it to radioprogram, one word, radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll use that question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast that many of you enjoy and download. Also, you can go to our website at drhoffman.com and use a PC or Mac. On the right side of the page, a box will miraculously appear and prompt you to record a question, as did Bob. Let's hear from Bob.
Dr. Hoffman, I'm a longtime listener. I recently listened to a audiobook on autophagy, and is also an excellent article in Life Extension on combating aging by eliminating senescent cells. My question is, how often do you think you have to fast to achieve autophagy? Thank you.
Okay, what an excellent question. And you get extra points for pronouncing autophagy correctly, because a lot of people pronounce it autophagy. It's spelled kind of weird. It's like auto, like a car, phagy. P-H-A-G-Y, and it's a real buzzword in anti-aging medicine these days, because autophagy comes from the Greek word, which means self-devouring. Self, and phagy means eating, so self-eating. And it's a natural mechanism of the cell that basically takes out the garbage, gets rid of unnecessary or dysfunctional elements within the cell. And this process of autophagy goes on all the time, because we're building up and we're breaking down. And, you know, just like a regular household, the cell has to get rid of garbage. And what facilitates autophagy is fasting and intermittent fasting. That's not the only thing that facilitates it, but it's one of the ways that we can manipulate autophagy. And so a lot of self-hacking folks who want to hack their metabolism are big believers in bouts of fasting, you know, going a few days with light eating or no food at all, or using something called TRF, time-restricted feeding, which means that you stop eating maybe at 6, and then you have your next meal at 10 or 11 the next morning. And it appears that TRF is one of the more palatable ways to do this, because fasting isn't fun, let's face it. Restricting the times that you eat, and, you know, not going to the refrigerator at midnight, not having a midnight snack, that will help the body in its cleanup process. So your specific question is, how much do you need to fast, or how much do you need to restrict to facilitate optimal autophagy? And the answer is, we don't really know. We don't really know exactly how long it takes. And it may vary from individual to individual. You know, it's probably not a bad idea to restrict your eating. You know, just say, I'm done. You know, eat at, you know, 7, no later. And then just don't snack. And then maybe avoid eating in the morning. But I got to tell you that avoiding breakfast may not be a good strategy, because I have an article in front of me that suggests that if you have a late dinner, well, that's not really promoting autophagy. That's kind of violating the rules of autophagy. But a lot of people do this. They, you know, they're busy during the day. They don't have time to eat. They maybe grab a bite, and then they get home and they relax. They put the feed bag on late. You know, maybe they're commuting. They get home, you know, 8, 9 o'clock. They have a big, big dinner. And then, you know, because they're kind of nauseous in the morning, you know, after the alarm goes off at 6 in the morning, they've just eaten like a few hours before. They don't feel full. I mean, they don't feel hungry. So they skip breakfast and they go to work. Skipping breakfast in that fashion is not good. There's a study that shows that for people who've had a heart attack, if you skip breakfast and eat dinner near bedtime, you may have worse outcomes after a heart attack. That's in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. The study enrolled people with heart attacks, and what they found is that individuals who had late night dinners, that was defined as less than a 2-hour interval between dinner and bedtime, and then missed breakfast, they did worse in terms of their cardiovascular outcomes than folks who did, I guess a form of autophagy, which is to stop eating early. And, maybe it's okay to skip breakfast or have breakfast late, have an interval in which the body can affect a cleanup. And while we're on the subject of breakfast, breakfast is an important meal. You talk to many conventional nutritionists, and they say breakfast is the most important meal. Have a big breakfast because that will set the tone for the rest of the day. And to some extent, that's true for people who like to have breakfast, have time to have a good breakfast, because then, it's taken in a spirit of sobriety. You generally eat healthier food early in the day, and it tends to stave off hunger pangs later in the day for less good quality food. But this is actually the principle behind providing breakfasts to kids in schools, because hungry kids don't study well. And so there are a lot of initiatives, public initiatives, in public schools to provide kids with breakfast. So they'll be better students, they'll focus better. But, folks, there's one immutable law of nature, and that is the law of unintended consequences. Because get this, did a study, the effect of breakfast in the classroom initiative on obesity in urban school-age children. This is research done in Philadelphia. Here's what they found. They found that a breakfast in the classroom did not affect the combined incidence of overweight and obesity in the kids in this program in Philadelphia. In fact, it just simply added to the caloric burden that the kids were eating. They got a free breakfast, so they said, great, I'll scarf the breakfast, and then I'll eat whatever I want during the rest of the day. So this study kind of joins the annals of studies that suggest, for example, food stamps. Food stamps are designed to help people eat better, to stave off malnutrition. But studies have shown that individuals who enroll for food stamps generally are heavier. They're more prone to overweight and diabetes. And that's probably because there's virtually no limit to the type of junk that you can get with your food stamps. They place no parameters on the foods that you're eligible to buy with food stamps. And that's really something that needs to change. And maybe the problem with the study in Philadelphia is the kind of breakfast they gave the kids. Probably cheap, starchy, sugar-laden stuff that supposedly put some glucose in the kids' brains so that they could focus and think, but ultimately made them heavier. And this item, for those of you who do some weightlifting, as I do, I try to work in a few sessions of resistance training every week. Weightlifting an hour each week may reduce heart attack and stroke by 40 to 70%. The benefits of strength training seem to be independent of running, walking, or other aerobic exercise. In other words, as an add-on benefit, make sure that strength training is part of your exercise portfolio, especially if you're a little older and at higher risk of heart attack and stroke. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. Great hour. Look forward to your calls next hour. Please stay with us for more of Intelligent Medicine.